there are some people you do not know so much individually, but you know both of them. Like my mom and dad, people referred to them as George and Joan. Or Randy and Carol McMillan, the owners of the Fresh Chili Company. They sponsor these podcasts, and many of the Fresh Chili Company videos have both of them in it, or Randy and his daughter Jenna. In that manner, I must say former New Mexico Governor Bruce and Alice King when I talk about Governor Bruce King. Michael Swickert here. Welcome to Enchanting People of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Our award-winning Hatch green and red chili, boy, is it good. It's from locally owned farms in Hatch, New Mexico, the chili capital of the world. Now, Wednesdays, it's our Enchanting People series where we talk about someone or several people who made an impact upon New Mexico. Some people on this list spend their entire life in New Mexico, and some only spend a few years. Regardless, we in New Mexico are better off because these people that I'm talking about were in New Mexico. I want to talk about the longest-serving governor of New Mexico, Bruce King, who I believe was elected for who he was when he was with his wife, Alice. I believe that Bruce was on the ballot, but most of us saw Bruce and Alice King when we saw Bruce King. Kind of a bold statement, but I can make a case for Alice King, the longest-serving First Lady of New Mexico. Many people don't know that in 1988, Alice King was the first inductee into the New Mexico Women's Hall of Fame. What you realized quickly when you were around Bruce and Alice King, which I was a number of times, is that they worked seamlessly together in a number of ways. He always looked like the rancher that he was, and she was always at his side to help jog his memory. He didn't need it all the time, but once in a while jog his memory on names or other issues. Both worked together to raise two sons, Gary, who became an attorney, and Bill, who became a rancher like his father. Bruce and Alice King were born 11 miles and 6 years apart. He was born in Stanley, New Mexico, and she was born 11 miles to the south in Moriarty, New Mexico. His parents homesteaded in the Estancia Valley and started the King Ranch in 1917. Bruce, born in 1924, grew up a rancher's son. All his life, with the exception of a few years during World War II, he wore Western boots and a rancher's hat. Now, in World War II, of course, he was in the Army. When he got back to the family ranch in Stanley after serving his time in the Army, he started courting a girl in Moriarty, which, as I said, was 11 miles away from Stanley. Didn't be so far away he couldn't do it. Bruce King married Alice Marie Martin, and they were married for 61 years. From a small start as a rancher, the King Ranch folded in rangeland in the area until in 1997, the King Ranch, with Bruce and Alice's son King Bill King running it, is said to have 170,000 acres and it was one of the larger holdings in New Mexico. Likewise, Bruce and Alice King started in politics in a small way, and over the years, their style of politicking led them to lead the state of New Mexico from the legislature and from the governor's office, and they did so for several decades. Every step in the way, Bruce was who people saw first, but it was Alice standing next to him that made many things happen, I believe. Michael Swickert here, Enchanting People of New Mexico. Each Wednesday we do a podcast on people special to New Mexico. You can hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. I'm talking today about three-time New Mexico Governor Bruce King and his wife Alice, who have passed on, but we still have plenty of reminders of their leadership and effect upon New Mexico. After marrying Alice in 1947, Bruce worked hard on the King Ranch while sons Gary and Bill were born. Bruce's political career started when he was elected to the Santa Fe Board of County Commissioners. He did so in 1954. the King Ranch in Stanley, New Mexico, or in Santa Fe County. Bruce was reelected, and when he was reelected, he was made the County Commission Board Chairman during his second term. He was a natural leader. In 1959, he was elected to the New Mexico House of Representatives, where he served five terms. During three of those terms, he was the Speaker of the House. Again, he's quite a leader. Even then, he was the Speaker. Then he decided to run for governor of New Mexico in 1970, which required a statewide campaign. During this time, he was the chairman of the state Democrat committee, or party, and president of the state constitutional convention while he was doing all of this. In the 1960s, Bruce, with Alice by his side, became a statewide powerhouse, especially for agriculture. But he was also able to work hand-in-hand with many Republicans because he had a style about him where he could find common ground. There were members of the New Mexico Senate at that time. He was in the legislature, but they worked with Bruce. There were people that I met, most of them, and like them. State Senator Franco Papen from Las Cruces, State Senator Aubrey Dunn Sr. from Alamogordo, and State Senator Ike Smalley from Deming. The four of those very powerful leaders in the 1960s really allowed New Mexico agriculture to shine. It was a time of drought, just at the end of a drought, in southern New Mexico, and these four leaders, well, five counting Alice King, kept agriculture and the industry thereof going. After an exhaustive every part of New Mexico campaign for governor in 1970, Bruce King got 148,000 votes, I'm rounding here, to Pete Domenici's 134,000 votes, or it was 51% to 46%, still kind of close. These were four-year terms, but the New Mexico Constitution didn't allow governors to serve consecutive terms, so you do one and you had to sit out. But there were big things happening on the King Ranch when Bruce and Alice were not tied to the governor's office. They did a lot of speaking and traveling around. Son Bill King was building up the Hereford herd, and the King Ranch was getting quite a reputation for great work with cattle. It started with son Bill in 1968 when he was in high school, and then we went to college at New Mexico State University, studied agriculture, came back to the King Ranch, and under Bruce and Bill, they had grand champions much in demand, even to today, where there's about 1,200 high-quality cows and bulls at the King Ranch at the last time we saw. After sitting out 4 years from 1974 to 1978, Bruce threw his rancher's hat back in the ring and took on Joe Skeen from Lincoln County, who in 1974 had been defeated by Las Cruces' Jerry Apodaca, who won the governorship and was again running for governor. That's what Joe Skeen was doing. It wasn't to be for Joe Skeen because Bruce King squeaked out a 4,000-vote victory. That's 4,000 votes out of 345,000 votes. It was less than a percent. Close, but a win. Now, it was a blessing and a problem, and he became the governor for the second time. But in the evening of Friday, February 1st, 1980, there was a large prison riot at the Penitentiary of New Mexico, which is south of Santa Fe. That caused 33 deaths of inmates, and the eyes of the world were on Santa Fe with him as the governor. Michael Swickert here, Enchanting People of New Mexico. You can hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. Talking today about a great governor of New Mexico, Bruce King, and his wife Alice. They happened to be in the governor's office when the 1980 prison riots happened in the penitentiary of New Mexico south of Santa Fe. Now, I was owned a newspaper at the time, the Lincoln County News, so I was very aware of all this. Governor Bruce King, like he did everything good and bad that happened, whether it was good or bad, he stood in the news lights and he said the truth about what he knew and what he was going to do about it. It's a very difficult time for New Mexico, but it was good leadership, and it was good that he was there. Now, after there was a couple of terms, and then he decided to run for governor for a third term, and he won. It was the third term as governor when Bruce could run and succeed himself, so he could have had a fourth, but it wasn't to be. He lost to Gary Johnson. And then that was the end of the King era. I mean, they started in 1959. They ended in 1995. So he had a long time in the spotlight there. Bruce and Alice took the defeat in good graces. They went back to the ranch in Stanley for the rest of their days. I still see the name Bruce King. You know where I see it? I go to the New Mexico Farm and Ranch Heritage Museum in Las Cruces. I actually live very close to it and go there, really enjoy it. The Farm and Ranch Heritage Museum Act was passed by the New Mexico legislature in 1991. They started building it in 1995, and it opened in 1998. And when you go in, you'll see that the name, it's the Bruce King Building. It has six galleries and corridors with permanent and changing exhibits about New Mexico's farming and ranching heritage. And New Mexico has a very, very strong heritage for farming and ranching. So I smile when I see the Bruce King name, since for about half a century, Mr. Rancher in New Mexico was Bruce King. Too bad they didn't name those buildings the Bruce and Alice King Building. They were a team, you know. And while I didn't agree on everything, I was treated really well every time I met with them over and over the years. And Alice remembered my name. I'm not sure that Bruce always did, but Alice seemed to always remember my name. And that included the lieutenant governors. Casey Luna was their lieutenant governor the third time they were in the governor's office, and he was someone I worked with in Torrance County and really enjoyed, so I enjoyed being around the governor's office. New Mexico was made better by Bruce and Alice King living and working here. The King Ranch, which was started in 1917 by Bruce's father, is still leading the area in Hereford production. Bruce and Alice's Kings, that's Bill King, has been inducted into the Hereford Association Hall of Fame. That award is given to ranchers who have dynamically influenced the direction and advancement of the Hereford breed. Well, I want to say to all of them, well done, well done. Let's talk about the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. They have a great website, freshchilico.com. Just run it all together, freshchilico.com. You can go there and see many products where they can ship to your door. I especially love their blend of red and green chili in a jar, mild, medium, hot, and extra hot. I like medium and sometimes hot, and I like that blend. You can pre-order products to make sure you get exactly what you want in the coming harvest. They've just planted, so they'll be harvesting in July and August. Check the website, freshchilico.com, to see what you might want to pre-order. I saw it today. There's going to be a great year for onions. Go look at those onions. It's going to be good. Just saying, if there's something you like, for me, it's Big Jim Medium Blend. I have pre-ordered it because that's a good thing to have. This is Michael Swickard and Enchanting Stories of New Mexico. Now, one thing that happens when people live in Las Cruces and are in our area, they can come by the Fresh Chili Company's gift shop at 1160 El Paseo Road, Suite D7. It's open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come by the Fresh Chili Company gift shop. Big sign over the entrance that you can see it. And you know what? You can get a tour of the area if you email. I'm the tour guide, and we'll give lots of stories about how this wonderful company makes their chili. It's good to do. I want to thank you for being here, your time today. We'll always have lots of news and stories. If you have something or someone you want me to talk about, write to me, michael@freshchilico.com. michael@freshchilico.com. Have a great rest of your day. Oh, yes, and eat plenty of that good Hatch Valley chili. Like I always say, some chili is good, more is better, as long as it's Hatch Valley chili.